And as Ms. Henry said, I am not Lucille Pilling. Dr. Pilling could not be with us this afternoon. She actually had to teach her class. So she and I work closely. And if you notice, I also have to give homage to Anne-Marie Hoyt Brennan, who was our simulation faculty who worked on this course, and also Dr. Allison Buttenheim, who was the epidemiologist that actually created the epidemiology portion of the course. Okay, and so what I'm going to talk with you is really a labor of love that lasted well over a year when this group and a few others were charged with designing a new nursing in the community course for our new undergraduate BSN curriculum. And so it was a mixture of course, public health experts, community health nurses, researchers that had researched communities in the community, and we were charged with how do we create a curriculum that really integrates research, education, and practice that we all could be satisfied with. And so that took us some time. We had, you should have seen the room that we worked in. We had concept maps, we had whiteboards, really just trying to figure out what it is. Is it public health nursing? Should we call it community health nursing? Should it be public health nursing in the community? We really couldn't come up with it. Thankfully, though, our curriculum committee said, well, we titled it Nursing in the Community. So these are the objectives, and you need to follow it. So that's what we came up with. So we, our charge was basically we knew that we got it down to we wanted to integrate theory, simulation, and our clinical practicums. Before we took over the course, and Lucille and I have been teaching it for about a little over 3 years now, theory was one thing, and it was a hodgepodge depending on who taught the course. The clinical was something totally different, mostly geropsych-focused. And for those of us that work in the field, we know community health nursing goes from the womb to the tomb, right? And so, and we did not have simulation at all. So our students really never got a grasp of what community health nursing, what public health nursing was. And often our course was defined as, oh, this is going to be boring, or this is easy, or why do we even have to take it? So we were met with a lot of opposition when our students came in. Also, we had to think about answering to all of the gods, shall we say. So it was the State Board of Nursing, right, because our students need to pass NCLEX. We had to think about the American Nurses Association, and we even thought about the Quad Council because we said, well, wait a minute, we're educating our students to practice at a generic level. And if our state board says our students can practice anywhere, we need to also get the students that may be thinking about community health as their goal. And then also, we wanted to motivate and introduce our students to all of the many opportunities that they had available to them if they chose to work in public health or community health. This is a snapshot of our Canvas board. For some of you not familiar, it's similar to Blackboard. And so when the students open up our course site, this is what they see, the schedule of our course. And this is from this past summer when we first ran it. We're running it again now, but you'll notice that everything is integrated. You can see the class, the lecture times, you can see epidemiology, you can see when we have simulations. Everything was right there because we wanted the students to know that we really thought about how what are all the linkages to what they will be going through in this course. The other piece is that this course also moved from a six-week length of time to a full semester. So that was another challenge because our students said, well, wait a minute, it used to be 6 weeks. How dare you have it for a full semester? It didn't mean that we got more didactic time done. So we had the same amount of didactic time, but we had gotten more clinical, and I'll talk about that. Okay. So when you think about this job, it truly was a challenge. And so we had to think about how do we intellectually move our students from this task-based kind of acute chronic care that our colleagues in the 3 years before us, and because mind you, our class is a senior level course, they did such a wonderful job indoctrinating the students to their areas of med surge that when they come to community, it's like, well, why am I doing this? What, you know, what do you mean I'm not running around? you know, like I was on the floor, so we had to really move them. And for some of the students, for some students more than others, it was a struggle, but we really had to move them to a population-based focus. We also had to think about how do we link and build upon all the wonderful things that our colleagues did throughout the curriculum before the students got to us. And so for us, it was, this is the in community, it's a wonderful opportunity for you to use all of those skills that you learned in MedSurg or in maternity or in PEDS. You're just thinking of it in a different way, right? We also had to build a course that was actually equally valued as well, and that not only the course material, but also the clinical experiences. Because what happens is, again, it's just a different kind of busy in our clinicals. You know, you're not running around as a med surge. They get their patients. You know, they're doing the task. Here, you know, the patient is maybe the whole community or maybe one person or could be a family. And I'll talk a little bit more about our clinical sites. But we had to, like, help them to be able to value those experiences, because one of the things that happened in prior years is that students said, well, I really didn't learn anything. And, you know, so we had to really mentor them to know you learned so much. You built on your communication skills. I'm preaching to the choir. Let me just go on. And then also we had to focus the students on understanding and how you incorporate all of those social determinants of health. So it's understanding that your patients, your clients, your residents, whoever you're working in whatever site, understand that they come from the community somewhere and they're going back to the community somewhere. So you have to figure out how you best help them to adapt to whatever issue they were going through before you met them. And so our theory, we actually started to, we developed three modules that the students would go through. And so we talked about epidemiology. That was a huge component that was added in. It went from kind of this one session where some of us struggled teaching it to we actually had four sessions on epidemiology. And so it's really how do we describe the populations we're working with, but how do we take the numbers and what do they mean and how do we develop interventions that are appropriate? We also looked at the community as client. So we think about, okay, how do you work with communities? How do you look at partnerships between you and the nurse? And for some of you that are nurse family partnership nurses, you know, I was a former nurse family partnership, but it's just that. How do you partner for healthcare? So it's not me going in as the healthcare practitioner saying, I know everything and I have it and this is what you need to do and that's it. But no, let's work with the knowledge that I have and the knowledge of yourself, client, and let's work together to make the optimal health changes. And then we also looked at engagement, because that's a huge piece of what we do as nurses in the community. We have to be engaged. We have to develop relationships. You know, so and the way we do that is different ways. So we help to mentor the students in understanding what that looks like. The beauty is that we also recognize that as faculty, we didn't know it all, right? So we did have guest lecturers come in to our course. A lot of them were, and most of our guest lecturers were nurses as well, because we wanted to show, again, that, hey, occupational health, that is a practice that you could do. And so a lot of students were introduced to areas of nursing they hadn't even thought of or heard of prior to. But we also recognize that what we do in public health nursing is also interprofessional, interdisciplinary. So we also had presenters who were in different fields, so social workers, for example. We had the dental school come out. So just different professions working together. And we talked about the history of public health and care of homelessness, immigrant health, and disaster relief, to name a few. The other component is that, again, we wanted to integrate simulation into our course. So we wanted students to, one, if they did not, maybe they weren't assigned to the home care site, but every student would get an opportunity to at least experience home care through our simulations. Okay. So we started with the skills boot camp, and that was important. As you see, that's actually a lesson learned because a lot of our students, they forget how to take a manual blood pressure. And we knew they were taught it, but because they had been indoctrinated, and I see some heads shaking, that they kind of forgot. And so we designed a skills boot camp where they took manual blood pressures. They took heights and weights for the infant, the child, and the adult. They relearned wound care, diabetes. And so these are just a list of the simulations. And what we also did with the simulations is that whatever subjects were covered in our course, we try to match the simulation that week if we could. And then we also let the students know that, in preparing for the simulations, we would say, use your textbook from maternity and look at these pages to review the information. So we also let the students know that, hey, it doesn't happen, just compartmentalized, but everything you learn can be used in community health. Okay. And again, we just, we included subject matter experts, and we did our domestic violence simulation, for example. We actually had a nurse who worked with human trafficking. She worked with the prisons. So she was able to shed light on how she would work as a nurse, and they actually helped with the debriefing of what the students did. Okay. And again, we did pretests because we wanted our students to come prepared with some knowledge so that, students, if you don't test them, they don't care about it. So we did let them know we were testing them. Okay. Our clinical practicum, so we have 2 days a week for a total of 16 weeks. So what happens is that the students spend the first half of the semester in one clinical site, and then they actually go to another site the second half. And they actually perform a handoff, if you will. And we kept a handoff because we said, well, in the hospital, hospitals in our area were pushing handoffs between nurse to nurse. So we said, okay, handoffs between group to group, because, again, we wanted them to see the concepts. 6 to 8 students were assigned to either a community or public health site, and they were under the guidance of an experienced clinical instructor. And the interesting thing about our clinical site, our clinicals, is that their clinical logs, they're included the community health needs assessment, so the windshield survey, any interviews, everything was guided so that by the end of the semester, they included all of these things in their intervention. So the intervention was pertinent to the intervention that they developed. And then at the end of the semester, and so what happened was the group B, they would actually look at what group A's assessment was, but group B would actually conduct their own assessment. And so group B could say, you know what, we don't really see this issue that way. We're going another way with the intervention. So group A would give recommendations, but group B would develop the intervention. And then, of course, they have to present to the grant funders, who are myself and the other faculty, because we let them also know that this is something you would be asked to do. You develop your proposal. You have to orally present it, either to get your funds or, to get access. But then you also have to write a proposal as well. But everything links together. These are just this, what some of our clinical sites were. So it's a hodgepodge of home care, substance abuse. I think the last three are special in that we have a transitional care clinical site, clinical practicum. So with our hospital, the baby-friendly site, they're trying to be magnet. And part of staying magnet and being designated as a baby-friendly hospital, they have to show what things they are doing to help mothers and babies be healthier in the home. So our students were actually involved in lactation and working with the Homeless Health Initiative with those families. And then we also have a partnership with our Philadelphia Free Library as well. So we actually, the Pew Charitable Trust did a study, 34% of library patrons come in for health information. The librarian said, wait a minute, we really don't know what is reputable health information, what do you do? So our students are actually working in the libraries now. And we actually have a partnership because there's an academic and free library partnership. So we're actually looking to sustain this project a bit more. And then we also have an opportunity for our students that take this course in the summer to go to Botswana for a clinical practicum, 8 students as well. And that's a whole partnership with Botswana UPenn. And so what we wanted our students to have was basically service learning projects as well. And I think I talked a bit about it, but every step of the project, really they start from day one. It's when they do that initial windshield survey, when they have their observations, first time they touch a patient, and they have to reflect on it all the time because it's not a one and done in what we do in the community. Course evaluation, of course, we have to have quizzes because without quizzes, students will not read. We have the students complete an op-ed as well, and we love the assignment. Students grumble about it because it's not a research paper. But, again, you know, the nurse is usually to ask to give us something in 2 minutes. So this is their way of saying, this is an issue I'm passionate about, I'm giving you action, and I'm telling you how to go about doing it. So we love it. Epidemiology problem sets as well. So the students actually have an epi lecture, and then we break them out. And they have to, actually, we do like an outbreak, for example, to do that in live time. We have a partnership with Botswana, so we actually talk about cervical cancer. We even have the students look at sugar sweetened beverage tax as well, yay or nay. And so they come back, develop the arguments for or against, and then they act as if they're giving to the mayor, who has to decide how he wants the community to. So, service learning, okay. So I just wanted to show you some pictures from our mass casualty. This is one of our simulations. This is the last simulation, so we have to really end our course with a bang, you know, literally. This is me in front of the Botswana U Partnership. I'm actually the clinical instructor that takes students over. And this is me and some of the students with some of the people in Botswana. So the course impact, this is quotes from students. I am always performing windshield surveys in my head wherever I go. You know, public health is everywhere. Flexibility, you know, is important. So the students really got it by the end. And lessons learned, basically, we needed to come to a conclusion early about how this course would run. We had to carefully plan ahead of time, which isn't always able to do. But now, so we have some stability in course, we're getting better at it. And always debrief and make your passion evident. One thing our students love is that we were all very passionate about what we did and why we did what we do. So thank you.